You're listening to Mahakala, recorded in 1988, the most beautiful, important, terrific protector of Tibetan Buddhism. He is black and six-armed. Though fierce in his trampling upon the evil spirits of delusion and greed, he is actually considered to be the agent of Avalokiteshvara or Chenrezig, the angelic bodhisattva of great compassion. Mahakala is frightening in appearance because his responsibility is to protect all beings from evil. In the Mahakala ceremony, the monks invite Mahakala to manifest himself before them. They make offerings to him and they praise him, evoking his virtuous qualities, and they commission him to safeguard Mother Gaia, the earth, and all beings. Welcome to Arts Live and Local, and Tashidele Losar, a happy Tibetan New Year. Sending that peace out with hopes that Mahakala's spirit will do its job in our world. And to Seth, who's relentlessly sharing the works of Buddhism these days in China. Well, actually at the Senior Center, but it's about Buddhism in China. And we were talking about bodhisattvas just today. Yes, Losar is, of course, it's not just a solar calendar. It's a lunar solar calendar. So the days like the Jewish and Islamic days start in the evening. And Losar this year starts February 18th. That is Wednesday coming up. It is a very intense time of celebration, commemoration of many cultures this week. It's actually quite astounding to me. So this year is the Fire Horse. The year is 2153. It's also the anniversary of Lama Thubten Yeshe's transition. He was the founder of FPMT. It's the Tibetan Buddhism. And I studied with his people the year that he died, 1984. I didn't know that's what was going to happen. But life has a way. Carol here with Arts Live and Local. That's arts and culture live and local. I hope you see it as well. Sending those Mahakala hopes to places all over the world in great need. Sudan, Venezuela, Greenland, Cuba, Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Haiti, Somalia, right here in the USA. Immigrants from all those places and everywhere else. Yeah. And special healing to Noel and Luann and Ted, Steve, Hope, Lisa, Janet, Karen, Reva, Kate, Gina, Mary Beth, Jean and Carl, Tom, and Peter, Hutala. And to you and to me, all of us certainly need healing. Well, you know the game. Where do you get your healing? from the arts, of course. Where else? Well, there are other places, I admit, but I think this is one of the most important and most successful. Art saves lives, art heals, and I've got a show full of artists. And I'm starting with two beautiful women who are here in the studio with me, but you're only going to hear from one and then the other. And so Julie Moore is here with me. Julie has been on the show before, and she was supposed to be on the show when, I don't remember when that was, but not too long ago, but the mighty COVID hit, I believe. But you look great and healthy, and the show is beautiful. This is at Lightbox Photographic Gallery on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th. With gratitude and love, postcards from the intersection of myth. Julie, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you, Carol. And I just want to say what a beautiful introduction that was, listening to the Buddhists from Tibet and their and everything that you shared about that. It was relaxing and expanding of my heart with love. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And it goes with your work and your with gratitude and love. Tell us about, I saw the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's upstairs at Lightbox. Do not miss Lightbox Gallery. Did I tell you tomorrow is Art Walk in Astoria? So there is the opening, and Julie's show upstairs, which you're going to hear about now. Downstairs is an annual show called The Photographic Nude, and it goes beautifully with the Royal Nebberker Gallery show, Au Naturel. So don't miss Lightbox. Julie, I saw the show. It's beautiful, but I metaphorically scratched my head and said, postcards from the intersection of myth and memory. I saw the memory and the myth and the mist and the fog and the symbols, but I was stymied. And now today you've told me
that the postcards are going up tomorrow morning in their entirety, so that would have made that connection a little easier for you.
Well, but yes. Better yet, you tell us what your process is and what the concept was here.
The concept really came from thinking about memories in general, thinking about my grandmother, who used to send me postcards from everywhere that she would travel.
Sweet.
And if she was even in town, she would still send me one for like Valentine's Day or Easter.
I love this.
So I have this fabulous collection of these postcards. And the message was always succinct because the postcards are small. So when I was thinking and conceptualizing this particular project, I'm going to skip to the memories, but the memories that we have, and I'm 73, mm-hmm. so I have a lot of memories, and I know from discussing some of those memories with my little brothers and with cousins, mm-hmm. and everybody has a different take on what happened. So our memories, even if we believe that they are clear and concise, there is a certain fog, a certain mysticism, and a certain myth that we inject to what we believe we remember. Because that memory is influenced by our emotions at the time. It is influenced by the surrounding political scene and emotional scene at that time. It's never as clear as we think it is. So in working with this concept of postcards, I am taking postcards and sending them back to my younger self.
Oh, wow.
Some of them go to my middle self, and some of them are still applicable today to my elder self. But these postcards are very succinct statements about how to get over things, how to move on. Thinking back to when I was younger, the things that scared me and kept me in a box, thinking about the things now that scare me and keep me in a box. So the postcards are very succinct and there is a postcard for each piece of the art.
Oh, wow. I got to go back and see that. Yeah.
Now, the art itself is very rustic. It could have been done by a kindergartner.
Excuse me? You're talking to a non-visual artist, please.
But it is, it's basic. It's all based on my photographic art, mm-hmm. but pieces are torn up. Pieces are merged together.
And layered.
Yeah. Everything is covered in beeswax.
Ah.
The beeswax gives it a very soft film, a foggy feel, because, quite frankly, our memories are encased in a soft fogginess. And every time that we remember a memory, we change it. Mm. And I thought that was fascinating. You know, not completely, although I had a brother who completely changed some of those memories. But so that beeswax, again, that softness really reflects how that memory is formed. So some of the pieces in the exhibit reflect on, for example, there's one on clouds that says both sides.
Yes.
That is covered not only in beeswax, but also in an orange type of cloudy paper on top of it. So there are many layers to it. And that postcard refers to looking at things from more than both sides.
Yeah.
Because both sides actually insinuates that there's black and white, right or wrong. Right. And it's
way more.
There's way more. Yeah. It's really circular in terms of all the ways you can look at a situation. Mm-hmm. So that postcard reminds my younger self to always remember that it's not this or that. Mm-hmm. It's a circle to look at things.
Well, your younger self got really lucky having you around to write back. I'm not quite sure how that works, but, you know, people talk about quantum this and that, so maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as memory, I also have two brothers, so I have the same experience of, no, that's not what happened. I wasn't even there, or you weren't. But also how all these years later, so much has affected. And this is interesting because my other artist guest is, how old?
I just turned 18.
Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another adult, however, a very young adult. So
yes.
It's interesting to hear you talking. You could be sending them back to Izzy.
You could be, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. So gratitude and love.
Many of the pieces in the exhibit, I'm just going to say, are not pretty pieces. Again, they reflect times of extreme heartbreak or hurt. But the entire project is about looking at life with gratitude and love, because each of those experiences brought me to who I am today. Mm-hmm. So it's a very emotional project for me. And it was conceptually was seemed like it would be so easy, but actually the actually making the project was a lot more complex than I thought it would be.
Well, that confounded you.
Yes.
Because your work is always mysterious. I remember the very first time I met you upstairs at Lightbox, and my daughter and granddaughter were with me, and you gave us a wonderful tour and explanation, and it was all new. So will you be able to be at Lightbox tomorrow?
Yes, I will be there, and I will have some antique Valentine postcards that I'll be exhibiting.
Oh, fun.
And I will also have postcards for everyone to fill out to their younger self with important messages that they want to share.
Wow. Wow. Are you the post office, too?
I am the post office, too. I have a little stamp. I have a rubber stamp.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Well, I look forward to going. I'm so glad I saw it, though. And now I will see it again quite differently, because I enjoyed all the images, but I was
perplexed.
Confused. Yes. Not unusual, but still. Wonderful. Julie Moore and... do you have a website or something like where people can look at your work?
I do.
Okay, what is
it? It is julie-moore.com.
Oh, that's nice and easy. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful.
And my work is both at Lightbox and at Riversea Gallery.
Right. Okay. But this is, you've got the whole room.
Yes.
At Lightbox, which is quite wonderful. Yes. Okay. And as I said, and you can go in other times too. But after hearing Julie just now, I think tomorrow's your best bet. What time do you think you'll be there?
I should be there around 4:30.
Okay. Good. Okay. And then downstairs, the entire gallery is photographic nude, almost entirely black and white photos. Beautiful. So I'm just going to move right over to Izzy.
Thank you, Julie. So nice to meet you.
Thank you so much, Carol. And as you heard, Nazina, we call her Izzy Cook, is here because I came across this beautiful little pocket journal of Clatsop County, a PNW. That's Pacific Northwest for you non-PNW people, guide. And I've seen, as a matter of fact, I have a piece of Izzy's work, but it's from when she was very young. And but I've seen your work, but wow. You are showing, this is your senior project.
Yeah, at the Astoria High School.
So how do you, have you been taking art the whole time, or is this something you just do on your own, or what?
I've taken a lot of art classes, yes, at the high school and at Clatsop. Mm-hmm. I was in a community art class, which is like an invite class that Mr. Chirugino is the high school art teacher, and essentially it's a student-led curriculum, so mm-hmm. we do whatever we want.
Nice.
We do murals, we do stuff like that. But this year I wasn't able to fit an art class into my schedule because there's so many required senior classes, and so I knew I wanted to still do art, so I knew I needed to make my senior project involve art, so that even if I didn't have a class, I was going to be held accountable to be making art. Yeah.
Beautiful. So you made art, and you have them, the artwork is posted beautifully at Peter Pan, which is up there on Niagara, and I think it's 8th Street or 7th Street.
It's in between the two, yeah.
Yeah, and it's on the riverside, the north side, and it's actually on your way to lots of places. Most people around here know where Peter Pan is. But I love the very first one you have. It's one of my favorite critters, the banana slug.
Yeah.
Now, people outside our area actually probably never even heard of the banana slug.
I know. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know.
Because we, I don't know, I grew up with them. So
much a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And I never ate one, did you?
Apparently, it's like a thing that people try to eat them because they think they taste like bananas.
Oh,
but
no!
I don't know. It's not, no. Do not do it. If you read the book, it's...
That's it. Yeah. Poison on the outside.
Yes. Yeah.
So you, how did you choose what you wanted to?
Yeah. So like I said, I wasn't going to be able to take an art class, so I knew I wanted to do an art-centered thing. And then over the summer, I had worked at Haystack Rock as an intertidal interpreter. So I was protecting the birds there, protecting the wildlife. And one nonprofit that we worked like hand in hand with was the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, and they were doing animal rehabilitation, but primarily bird rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to not work directly with them, but is that good? Sorry.
Stay.
Okay. I wanted to work. I wanted to be able to help that program because they did a lot for us. They helped a lot of our birds, and so I needed to make something that could give back to the community. And the Wildlife Center is a little closer to Astoria than out in Cannon Beach. And so all the proceeds of the whole thing go to the Wildlife Center, of the books and of the prints and of the originals. And that's really, I put those two together and then thought about it a little bit, and I knew I wanted to make a little field guide. Yeah.
Well, I know you've got plenty of birds in here, but you've also got the Western Red Cedar, chanterelles, huckleberries.
Yeah.
So how did you pick?
Well, first I went really just into my memories growing up in Astoria. I think lots of kids spend a lot of time outside here. And so the birds were easy because I love birds, and picking the birds, I just did all of my favorites really, and the ones that I think are the most iconic. And then for the plants, the trees were hard because I knew I wanted to do trees that were significant to not only like this ecosystem, but historically, culturally for Native Americans. And then for the other plants, I just did ones that brought joy to me in my memories. And that seemed the most relevant to our area. Yeah.
Yeah. I see you've got the Douglas fir, but yeah, you've also got the ostrich fern.
Yes.
Which is just delightful. And had you known a lot about each of these? I love your tufted puffin, too.
Oh, thank you.
And also what you did at the bottom of each one, after these nice long paragraph of information,
uh-huh,
that's what I want to know, where.
Oh, yeah.
If you knew everything already, yeah, or you researched. Then there's a fun fact.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought that would be fun in case, mm-hmm, kids or younger people were reading it. In terms of the information, I learned a lot about the birds from working as my internship at Haystack Rock. And then some of the information I knew from work, I'm part of the aquatic biology program at the high school.
Okay.
And so I learned a lot there. And then all my other information, mostly I got from iNaturalist, which is, mm-hmm, it's an app for identifying species, but I never use it on my phone. I use the website and you can look, mm-hmm, up anything and it shows you. Well, it shows you a really great page of information about it, and then it also will show you where people have identified them, when recently. You can see how frequently they're found in your area.
So, who did you use for model? Did you have real?
Oh yeah. So the
photos or what?
Some of them were photos I had taken,
okay,
but it's hard to get. I'm not a photographer. I'm not, mm-hmm, that good at getting close-up photos. Some of them were from iNaturalist, mm, people's observations. So on there, you can post a picture,
uh-huh,
and attach it to a species. And then the cormorant is actually from the Wildlife Center's Cormy. He's kind of famous. Yeah,
I know Cormy.
Yeah, and so that
I even know his birthday.
Oh, really? Yes. So that's Cormy in there, but all the rest of them are not any particular models.
Well, it's a beautiful book, beautiful work, and it is benefiting the Wildlife Center. Now, the only challenge,
mm-hmm,
I went with a friend to Peter Pan to look, mm-hmm, and the challenge I had was the only way you can pay is through Venmo or,
yeah,
PayPal.
Yeah,
I
know.
Some of us don't.
It's unfortunate. If you, that's a Peter Pan thing. So it's also,
okay,
at
I
other places. Yeah, it's easier for them to not hold money for me, which I understand. That makes sense.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would prefer doing it digitally anyway. But
yes,
if that's not something that you're comfortable with, in the other locations at Port Hopper, at Purple Cow, and at Rusty Cup,
mm-hmm,
they have regular transaction there.
And that's for the booklets.
Yeah, for the
but
booklets.
The artwork is only
The art is only there. I will say, if you contact me,
mm-hmm,
I've done it. I've picked up checks for people. I've gotten cash. If people,
great,
if people don't have
How
that.
Do they contact you?
I have Instagram, which is probably the easiest place. It's Izzy Cook.
Spelled I-Z-I.
Well, that's
no?
on Instagram. It's actually L-Z-I. But L-Z-I Cook. I know. It's not. It's
okay.
It's,
that's fine.
It's not very helpful.
L-Z-I
Cook.
Cook. Okay. And we'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, it's quite wonderful. How did your, did Mr. C appreciate it?
Oh, Mr. Cherugino? I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah, I showed him it a little bit, but I will say I did most of it on my own. So it wasn't,
right,
like I was working alongside him.
Right.
Actually, my mentor was Marianne Monson.
Oh, nice. For
yeah,
the writing.
For
part,
the writing
especially.
And stuff like, and she's published books before.
Right.
But I believe
That's
Mr. Cherugino enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking because you didn't take art class.
Yeah. No.
Well,
I'm sure. I'm
still.
Sure he's. Yeah. I was like, this is what I have been working on.
Right,
just so
exactly.
you know.
Okay. Well, congratulations. It's beautiful. What are you doing next year? Do you know yet?
So I'm gonna go to school. I haven't decided where yet. I'm kind of choosing between a couple of places, but my top choices right now are U of O, Honors College, or St. John's, which is a small liberal arts school, or fingers crossed for Smith. That's my hope.
Oh, okay.
But I'm still waiting to hear back from them.
Great. Yeah. Well, I know you'll do well wherever you go.
Thank you.
Such a joy. Okay, folks, I'm going to put some more music on. Thank you, Nazina Izzy Cook, and we'll see you soon. Okay. Ramadan Mubarak. If you happen to celebrate Ramadan, then you know this is very important Islamic 30-day holiday. It will be starting February 17th, 18th, or 19th. Depends on the moon. Lunar calendar. Complete lunar calendar. And fasting from sun up to sundown. We wish you well. It's happening all over the world. And happening here are three amazing artists who have decided that life isn't complicated enough. And so let's move a gallery and make it bigger. We need your mic closer. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I have here the two people who created the Made in Astoria Gallery, and it was packed with art. It was long and skinny, not a lot of room. They managed to squeeze it in, but somebody decided it wasn't big enough. And so somebody figured it's time to move to a bigger space. I'm going to let them tell you who the perpetrators are. And then a third person decided, wow, this is fantastic. I'm in. Those are his exact words, I'm in. So let me introduce you to Bill Atwood. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Carol. It's great to be here.
Annie Escalin.
Hi, Carol. Great to be here.
And Annie is a regular here because she's doing so many things in the arts in this community. And Jeremy Furnish. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Carol. Long time no see.
Yeah, right. Right. Au Naturel opened last night. Don't miss it, up at the college. So, what happened? MIA. MIA. It is MIA. Made in Astoria. Sweet, sweet gallery with beautiful stuff, all artists locally. Then what happened, Bill?
We kind of hit a ceiling and realized that it was time to grow. So we started the conversation about expanding. And it really was just a matter of being patient, waiting for a space to open up on commercial. We were pretty adamant about that. And almost as soon as we decided that we were going to be moving into a larger space, one opened up just three doors down.
Serendipity. So that told you that it was meant to be.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And what was the space that used to be?
The space that we've moved into, it used to be Erickson's Floral.
Right, right.
And I've based for almost 80 years. Maybe 80 years.
Goodness. Wow.
Yeah. And prior to that, they were actually in our old space.
No way.
Yeah. Before the building was built.
Oh, this is kind of woo-woo, isn't it?
It is. Okay. A little bit.
Okay. And Bill, for the record, how would you describe the work you do?
Ooh.
That's why I'm letting you do it.
I want to do everything. Mm-hmm. And so it really takes a lot for me to kind of just back that up a little bit and just stay focused. Primarily steel. I love to paint. Any materials, if it works with the concept.
Okay. Whatever the concept is in your mind.
Yeah, okay. I've been focusing a lot on family. Mm-hmm. Over the years, those have been really favorite pieces of mine.
Nice.
I would add that his work is thoughtful.
Oh, that's good.
It's thoughtful.
Emotionally driven.
Yes.
This is great. You're getting a critique right here on the
really
live
appreciate
on the
it,
air.
Actually. I'm not going to lie.
That's wonderful. I love it. Annie, how did you play into this when you're co-founder of Maiden Astoria happens to be your partner?
I want to start by saying that when we expanded, we also renamed our space, which
yes.
we haven't discussed yet, but it's kind of an important piece.
Please do. I'm sorry, I keep saying.
It's okay. We still refer to it as MIA, internally. So our new name is Confluence Studio Gallery. And that says a lot about the expansion, because before did not have studio in the name. And that's been a really exciting piece.
And what is that? What does it mean? Because I thought you put it in there just because there are other Confluence galleries. But
Well, that's not the only reason.
That's what I want to tell us.
Well, our space is now, because it's
a
much larger
space.
We have a loft and a basement and a beautiful new gallery mm-hmm. that we spent countless hours retrofitting. And it also includes a working studio in the back. So everybody can come in and enjoy all of the artwork and our retail space, local artists' work especially we're highlighting. And then in the back, you can get a sneak peek of what a real working artist studio looks like.
Nice. Now, are you going to rent out studio space?
That's not TBD.
Okay.
We do have space for that, but right mm-hmm. now we're focusing on the main floor.
Right. It's beautiful space, and I got to be up in the loft looking down on everybody, which was wonderful. And then also I was in the basement, which is, that's a whole nother deal. We won't even go there today.
That's next episode.
Right now, I want to hear Jeremy.
Well.
How do you figure in anything to do with that back studio?
Well, I think over the last couple of years, I've been looking for a space in town to actually work. We had all talked about it for quite a while, and when this came up, I got really excited, and then I just kind of it felt perfect, and so I hit the ground running and did what I do.
Well, the first time I saw your work, it was huge work. It was in Seaside Convention Center and Klatskanai, the cultural center.
Yeah.
And then I saw your work here, and there were tiny little things.
Yeah.
And I thought, who is this guy? I mean, I've known him for years, but who is this guy? So...
So now we got a medium space now.
Okay.
I can make large work in this studio. It's enough space to make the same monumental assemblies if I build it in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the focus for me personally is going to be my lighting work.
Mm-hmm.
Glass work, mm-hmm. lighting, fixtures. I plan on filling the appropriate space in the gallery with my lighting fixtures.
Nice. Yeah. So I was going to say, can you tell folks, as I asked Bill, how would you describe? I just gave sizes. I didn't tell people what it was. And Annie, I'm coming back to you.
Yeah, the smaller work, like you were talking about, I would like to think I was thoughtful too. I think maybe that's why me and Bill get along, is because our work is,
mm-hmm.
it's different, but thoughtful,
mm-hmm.
and we can be playful with it while we're...
And thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And it's
fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we like to have fun and make people smile and laugh and sometimes rage.
Good.
You know, there's been some rage. But that's fun, too. You know,
for you,
for me,
I'm not so sure about you. Annie, your work.
Yeah, I also multi-mediums, kind of whatever direction takes me. I haven't made a lot of work recently. Kind of think of myself more as a deadline artist. Like I need that deadline, and then I'm like, that's the inspiration that I need often.
Interesting.
And if I might add, brilliantly composed. Your work, really brilliantly composed.
Yeah.
Details.
Yes.
Thank you.
And beautiful.
And beautiful.
Beautiful
yes.
to look at,
yeah.
too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But Annie also is the executive director of the Astoria Visual Arts, which has a whole nother thing going on tomorrow. And... several other jobs along the way. So keeping it together, well, everybody is very excited because it's not just a new gallery opening. People have seen all of your work, all three of you, and some of the other local artists. And now to have breathing space there and to be able to open up is wonderful. So...
I'd like to just quickly touch on the show that we have opening up tomorrow, which is called Dark Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's a play on dark arts, and it's a group invitational with a bunch of artists that were inspired by that theme. So we're leaning back on that deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super fun and playful, all sorts of media, and... yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention super briefly is that this spring we'll be starting a workshop series in the loft.
Oh, cool.
So we are looking for artists that are interested in teaching workshops. It's not a super big space, but probably, you know, up to 12 people. It's cozy.
It's about 1,200 square feet of space.
Ooh,
yeah,
it's cozy. It's bigger than my house. Okay. Confluence Studio Gallery. It's right next to the walkthrough, but is there an address?
1295 Commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, right on the 13th Street Alley.
Right, exactly. And it's even got a door there, which is kind of...
When the red light's on, watch out.
Yeah, watch out, indeed. Website?
We're actually switching our website over due to the new name,
okay.
So that's coming.
Okay.
And there's quite a bit of shuffle. We just opened in January, so we're still working on. It's continuing, but it's also very new. It's really exciting.
Well, tomorrow is the opening, and you're going to be there, all three of you.
Yes.
At times, for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah. You have to pop back. Okay, Dark Hearts, because, yeah, the Festival of Dark Arts is happening tomorrow, too. But there are no tickets left, so I'm not going to even bother with that. Just know that there's a bunch of wild and crazy things happening at the Fort George and all over Astoria for Astoria Art Walk. Again, congratulations, and thank you so much for coming in. Did you want to say something?
I did. I want to express gratitude for the artists that we have in our space. This community is off the charts with talent. And so we'd have an empty space if it wasn't for them. And also gratitude for you having us in here and giving us the opportunity to speak.
I'm very excited. I love it that you're doing this. So, and the fact that we can watch this whole thing as it grows is exciting too. So check it out. Again, $12.95 commercial. You can't miss it. And also talk to any one of these three, but especially Annie, if you're interested in connecting with the gallery. So thanks so much. And best of luck. Not that you need it, but it can't hurt.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you.
I have just a quickie of music and then my last guest. And here's something new from Spud Siegel. And the Skinners, Spud and the Skinners, are coming right in. KMUN Astoria.
She showed up in riding pants, cold as she could be. She'd been out riding in winter wonderland. Was the first time on the mountain she'd see for miles around. Snowflakes glistening on the duck furs all around. Sally Brown, Sally Brown, Sally Brown, Sally Brown. About as long as we could stand, just to see Aunt Sally and Uncle Tom have us some fun. Aunt Sally, she played the fiddle, and Uncle Tom played banjo. And we'd sit around picking till the last song was played. Sally Brown, Sally Brown, Sally Brown, Sally Brown. In 1941, Uncle Tom shipped away. Went off to serve his country, but he missed home every day. His banjo was his closest friend, kept his young heart warm. When he got home to Sally, they played tunes all night.
So the banjo was his closest friend?
Yeah.
What in the heaven's name is that about? Spud Siegel is here. That's,
yeah.
He just brought me this music, brand new album.
Yep, it's
J.T.
Trollick.
Yeah, never heard of him. Sorry.
He's a great guy. He's from Arkansas.
Oh.
And he lives in Portland now.
Okay.
He plays every second or third Saturday over here on the peninsula.
Oh, sweet.
By himself, a little solo act that he does. But those are all his original songs on that CD.
Huh.
And it's a recording I did with him and Annie Stananick. He's a great fiddler who, that's where we learn this next tune we're going to play.
Okay. Well, the reason it's a little hectic in here is because this great, big, wonderful hammer dulcimer just showed up. And it's And Spud is giving us a serenade while we're getting ready to play. Mick Daugherty is here with the Hammer Dulcimer. Hi, Mick.
Hi, Carol.
It's been a long time.
It has. It's great to see you.
You too. And our wonderful Sandy Bradley.
Hi, Carol.
Whom we love and adore. Sandy used to be on KMUN. She was a board member. She had a national program.
I love this station.
Sandy Bradley's Potluck, which we played. And I still have a... What are those called?
CDs, I think.
No. That was Sandy.
Cassette.
No, it's what you hold pots with, a pot holder.
Oh, yes,
for Sandy the potluck pot holder.
Right. So you've got a song for us, but first let us just quickly folks. Tell us your official name these days, please.
Well, we're flying under the colors of Spud and the Snake Skinners, just be called the Snake Skinners.
Okay.
And it's because we formed a little sort of Celtic group to take advantage of all the St. Patrick's Day gigs and the craze for Celtic music. Good. And so St. Patrick was the famous saint that chased the snakes out of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And snakes skin themselves anyway, so I thought, anyway.
So I shouldn't feel bad.
Right. We're not going to do any actual snake skinning.
It's true.
On the air. We won't do it live on the air.
You know, St. Urho.
Anyway, we're playing some gigs up in this area.
You sure are.
So
tonight at Kala.
Yeah.
That's at 7:30 tonight. And that's kalaastoria.com. And then tomorrow at the North Beach Tavern, which is in...
Long Beach,
okay.
That's right on Pioneer Road there. It's right on the main drag. And
yeah, you can just easily look it up. That is tomorrow. And tonight, Kala. And, and you're doing a house concert in Olympia.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes.
Wow.
That's
when is that? Sunday.
Gig.
Cool.
Mick got that one.
That's cool. I'm going to tell my friends, my daughter. Okay, so you've got a tune for us. You guys have been playing together in one form or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met Sandy to play music with her up there at the Ark restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Crabbo and I used to play up there a lot, and then Sandy was hanging out up there with the oyster farmer.
I begged him and begged him to start a band that I could be in with him. So
yeah, because
10 years later, he did.
And it took him a while. Sandy used to play with the Canote Brothers. Yeah. What was the name of that?
Small Wonder String Band.
And what fun. And Susie McCleary still plays that music. If I could get my hands on it's somewhere around here. Okay. The Snake Skinners, Spud Siegel, Sandy Bradley, Mick Daugherty. What do you got for us?
We're going to do a little shape note song that I learned from Annie Staninek, that fiddler we were listening to on there.
Right. Okay.
I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from my home. I'm a long time traveling here below. Gonna lay this old body down. When I can see my titles clear in mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eye. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from my home. I'm a long time traveling here below. Gonna lay this old body down. When tears like wild deluge come and songs of sorrow fall, may I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from my home. I'm a long time traveling here below. Gonna
Let's hear that dulcimer now. There I'll rest my peaceful soul on shores of heavenly bliss, and not a wave of sorrow roll across my peaceful breast. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from my home. I'm a long time traveling here below. Gonna lay this old body down.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, my goodness.
And then I don't know how much time we have, but we have one more song at least.
Yeah, we could do it. Let's just remind folks you're listening. You know, I forget. Some people don't know. I don't know how this is possible, but some people don't know. Spud Siegel. Lived here forever and was part of the famous Potatoes, and some of us have known him since he was a teenager and loved him, and he's not a teenager anymore, is he, Sandy?
No, he's not.
But he was. And now mostly in Portland, but he does come back. And I spoke of him a couple of weeks ago, apropos of someone else. I said it used to be just Spud Siegel and Friends, because you never knew who was going to be playing,
right.
And it was always good music. But Mick has been playing hammer dulcimer for, oh, and Spud came out of the womb playing music. So, Mick, how about you? How long have you been doing the hammer?
Oh, my goodness. 45 years. I'm almost figured out a couple scales now. it's an uphill battle with this crazy thing.
Well, the crazy part also is he's lugging this thing around, and that's like, forget about it, but it's a beautiful.
Hey, it set up pretty quick, though, didn't it?
It did.
Would it take me three minutes? Did you have the stopwatch?
And but I'm glad you brought it, because I love hammer dulcimer.
Thank you.
Hey, Dan, that one's for you. And Sandy, you've been playing most of your life, too.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep, haven't used it all up yet.
Good. Thank goodness. Okay, give us a song. You have a couple of minutes.
Well, this is a one for you, Carol. This is an Estonian Belgian piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Modern piece written by a guy named Hartwin. He's like Beyonce. He goes by one name.
Okay.
Hartwin and Liana are the couple that I heard this song from.
Okay.
Anyway, it's called the Lipatrinu Vals, which I guess in Estonian means the ladybug waltz.
Nice.
Okay.
You start it.
I think I will start it.
You can do a little vamp there, yeah.
I'll do a little vamp.
The Snake Skinners. Thank you. goodness, that is beautiful. I was ready to get up and dance, except I had my hands all over the map here. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So tonight at Kala and tomorrow night at North Beach Tavern in Long Beach, are you going to be playing music from all over?
Yep.
Like, yes. Just...
Not yeah. We will play some Celtic music. We're going to be back next month in full strength Skinner mode.
Okay.
We'll be with George Pink will be coming on us to play
sweet.
Irish tunes mostly,
nice.
You know, and Celtic related
okay.
stuff.
Well, get
and
it
stories.
On
Mick tells some stories, too.
I'd know? Love it.
And tonight we're going to tell Mick's going to tell a logging story.
Uh-oh. Okay.
A poem that Sandy hasn't heard. And we are done. Carol, thank
yes,
you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
I got the eyes on.
You can fiddle along while I...
Fiddle along.
Yeah, you got 20 seconds. Just in the background. Noodle is what I meant. Also, tonight and tomorrow night at the Coaster Theater is Red, the Mark Rothko play. Heard it is excellent. And that's 7:30 at the Coaster in Cannon Beach. Liberty McTavish Room. Amour Noir Bazaar from 4 to 9. Gothic Valentine's Market. And Astoria Art Walk everywhere. God, there's so much good art in this town. It's amazing. Heart of Cardam is having Repair Cafe. And Sunday, Peninsula Players Annual Meeting. Tuesday, I'm out of time. Thanks, folks, for listening. KMU in Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook Coast Radio. No, KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.